Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smashville.
Yoshi slides it in, and the Predators win it overtime.
This is the Preds Official Podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton. Brought to you by Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Woo! It's good to be back. That's right. I'm back. Oh, yeah, Brooks is still on the show, too. I am back in the ESPN 102.5 The Game studios with producer Max. We are dancing together to the theme song of episode 119 of the Preds Official Podcast, presented by Two Rivers Ford. Yes, Brooks Bratton joining remotely via Zoom as our next guest will do the very same. Milwaukee Admirals GM and Director of Player Development, Scott Nickel. He's coming up in a moment. But we've got a win against the Red Wings to talk about. We've got a tough stretch against the Floridian team, specifically those of the Bay of Tampa from the Lightning. I was hoping I'd get you with that. But yeah, episode 119. Let's dive right into it, Brooks. Why waste any more time? Here you are remotely. Here, producer Max and I are locally. It's episode 119.
It's good to see you back in the studio. As you may recall, last week I had a view of the Atlantic Ocean. The view of my apartment complex is slightly less stimulating.
I say, now I have a view of your bedhead.
But you do. Just peel behind the curtain here. It's 1:30 on Friday afternoon, February 12th, as we record this. And just the way my day is shaking out so far, I haven't showered yet.
Hey, no judgment here.
We'll get to that after the show. Still, yeah, this is how it goes in the work from home life. And working from home today, the Predators have the day off here on Friday after a 3-2 win against the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. By the way, quickly, and Thomas, the Predators player who you are most like on the roster, Matthias Ekholm, and his wife, Ida, and their son, William, welcomed a daughter/sister. Congratulations to the Ekholms as Ida gave birth to a baby girl, Maya, a couple of days ago. So congratulations to them as they become a family of four. Wanted to get that in. Of course, Matthias, unfortunately, going on injured reserve now with a lower body injury. He's actually week to week, so maybe a little more time for baby duty, as a matter of fact, yeah. I'm sure. That'll potentially work out in his favor or against his favor with the 2, 3, 4 a.m. wake-up calls. But nevertheless, congratulations to them. And the Predators snap a 3-game losing skid on Thursday night as we set a 3-2 final at Bridgestone Arena. And Thomas, it's just good to get back in the win column. And we often joke, as our listeners know, that we always appreciate a win before we start recording. But
sure.
I think for the Predators, one, there was somebody had tweeted at Chris Mason and I saying that, the Predators just scored against the Red Wings and they're acting like they won the Stanley Cup. Why are they doing that? Mm-hmm. Well, because it feels good to win.
Yeah.
I don't, people will say like, oh, Detroit is they're at the bottom of the standings. You should be able to beat them. Well, sure, maybe so. But last time I checked, 2 points still count the same, whether it's against Detroit or Tampa or Dallas or no matter who you're playing. So the Predators, they'll take a win any way they can get it right now because they need the point. And no matter how you look at it, no matter how things shook out throughout the 60 minutes, it's just good to get a win and they need to be able to build on it now.
First, 2, 6, and 10 for those nightly feedings. 2 p.m., 6 p.m., 10 p.m., then 2 a.m., 6 a.m., 10 a.m. That's how you keep it straight every 4 hours. Yes, Ecky's in the middle of that right now. I can speak to that at least. I was thinking before we recorded that I've restarted the television's greatest drama, Mad Men. And I'm not commending him for saying this because it's not a great line, but the main character, Don Draper, will say, especially when he gets into a bad situation, he'll say to somebody else, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? Just what do you want me to say? What do you want to hear? And I think that's kind of where we're at a little bit with the podcast in the sense that 3-game losing streak, it's not all roses. I mean, there's a lot of issues, a lot of bad things. It certainly helps with the win. And I was tagged in something similar from someone else. And my comment to them on, celebrating the Predators, celebrating a last-minute win against the Red Wings is, you got to end a losing streak any way you can. I mean, whatever it takes and whoever it's against. We went into the season thinking that the Blackhawks and the Red Wings were going to be two of the worst teams in the NHL and that the Predators needed to take care of business. And that meant something because at least over the last 5 years, the Preds really haven't played very well against the Red Wings, even when they've been lower in the standings. So to continue on that course, you're 3-for-3 so far against the Blackhawks and Wings. You needed to bust out of that slump. And here's the thing. There's been issues on the offensive and defensive side for the Predators. Oh, yeah, and you've got the injury sprinkled in, too. You mentioned with Ekholm being out, Richardson still out, Spezza out, Johansson still out. I mean, all of those guys on IR, like, it's going to probably be some ugly hockey for a little bit right now. You're going to take the wins any moment you can. Before we play Dante Fabro's game-winning goal that came with a minute left, a moment of levity before we get a bit more serious. This from the ESPN 102.5 The Game broadcast from Thursday's 3-2 win over the Red Wings.
Yossi at the point. Used his skates to hold that up. Here is Ellis again. Looking down toward the corner. Puck back for Yossi. A minute 15 remaining on the power play. Yossi takes it from Forsberg. Wrists it. Blocked in front. And cleared out to center. As we have a... I thought we had a whistle there for a moment.
That was a young child screaming.
Shoot the puck.
It was a bizarre noise.
Yes.
Or someone's cat got hurt.
I hope not.
Oh, man. The best part there. If you couldn't hear it, listen back again. It really sounds like a whistle. I mean, a much maligned cat, or maybe it was a child, as was speculated. But you just never know what's going on inside Bridgestone Arena these days.
You never do. And if you've, like, it doesn't happen every game, but I've definitely heard that noise before, right? Like, I don't know who
offender
makes it. But it's almost enough to make you think, was that a whistle? Then you're like, no, it wasn't. But, like, what was it?
Well, hearing it for the first time, because producer Max was like, you got to hear this. It's funny. I truly thought it was a whistle and that there was going to be some confusion about why the whistle had been blown, not the fact that it wasn't even actually a whistle. So that's pretty good. All right.
In front and cleared out to center.
There it is. Producer Max, so quick on the controls.
We didn't have any reports of any injured children or animals, so that's good.
I mean, so maybe
we don't
okay.
know about Nash. You never know what Nash is up to.
Hey, great point.
But other than that being the other greatest moment of Thursday's game, with exactly 1 minute left in regulation, Dante Fabro floated a shot from the point.
Arvidsson comes up out of the left wing corner. Gives it back toward Forsberg. Larkin tried to get in the way of that. He did. Now it's cutting on the board again. Fabro at the blue line under Mitchell. He scores! Dante Fabro threw in a blue darter from the blue line. It goes in upstairs. And the Predators take a 3-2 lead.
Those are the shots you're looking for. Get it on net. Good things will happen. He moved just enough to change the angle, use the screens in front of him. I don't think it hit anything. It wasn't a heavy shot, but a quick wrister from the point found its way into the net.
A Steph Curry fadeaway from Dante Fabro there for his first career game-winning goal. As we mentioned it, that comes in the first of 8 meetings against the Red Wings. They'll play again on Saturday night, and then they'll play 2 more next week up in Detroit. One that needed to happen, one that needed for the Predators to just get the 2 points any way that they could. They had lost 3 in a row prior to that, 1 against the Panthers, 2 against the Lightning. So a couple notes from that game. Head coach John Hines was asked about this following the contest. He wasn't ready to commit to it, and he has no reason really to, but kind of seems like Pekka might be the starting goaltender again for the Nashville Predators.
Yes, Pex has been good. I mean, it's vintage Pekka that we've seen lately. In his last 4 games, he's got a 1.81 goals against average, a 944 save percentage. Those are pretty good numbers. Those are Vezina type numbers that Pekka was showing back a few years ago. We know that it wasn't a great season for him last year. He wasn't happy with himself, and he talked a lot coming into the season about just feeling recharged, rejuvenated. He became a father for the first time, and we're seeing, not to say that he has extra dad strength, which he may very well, that could easily be the case, but Peck has looked good, and he's made, you've heard people talk, like Chris Mason, Terry Crisp, talk about goaltenders making that extra save. Pekka certainly did that on Thursday night. You're going to have turnovers. You're going to have breakdowns. You need your goaltender to bail you out every once in a while. And Pekka is certainly doing that more often than not lately. And he called it a gutsy win for his club, as we said, especially when you're in a point like this. Pekka was saying, you know, when you're losing, everything seems harder. Seems like you're gripping your stick a little tighter. The pressure's on a little bit more. But then, and producer Max, if we could go to that second clip, Pekka was also asked about what has been leading to his success of late. And it got a little deep and perhaps a little bit emotional. But here's what Pex had to say on that topic.
I feel like it's a simple answer. You put in the work. Obviously, you know, you try to stay in a good headspace. That's a lot of times. It can be harder than, you know, it's easy to say, but it can be hard because, you know, you I put a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, if you're not playing well, I can be sometimes too hard on myself. And I think that's something that I really try to enjoy this and really try to enjoy every single game I play and just, you know, everything about it, locker room, coming into work every day and, you know, really appreciating everything. I mean, obviously knowing the fact that, you know, I don't know how many more years I got. So I really just appreciate everything I have right now.
We've heard Pekka make comments like that at times over the past couple of years, and he knows, as everyone does, he's getting late into his career. But Thomas, I would argue that was kind of under the radar, the most emotional, if not at least retrospective, comment that we've heard him make, I think, on that topic of just really saying like, hey, I'm just trying to appreciate everything I have because I don't know how much longer this is going to last.
Yeah. Which, not to try and tie everything all together, but become a parent, you start getting more nostalgic and focus more on the little moments in life, for sure. So, I mean, I don't think this is a hot take at all just because of the way that the seasons have worked out. That was Pecorine's best game in 18 months. I mean, maybe more. I mean, a time when I can point to the contest and say, yes, it was only 24 saves, but the Predators don't win that game without him. And the hero is Dante Fabbro because of how he scores, and he scored so, you know, late in the game. But, I mean, the Preds don't win without Pecorine looking like he has in years past. So I think that's encouraging. It doesn't change what we've said for months now, which is UC Saros has to be great too. You're going to continue to play two goaltenders a whole lot. You got a back-to-back coming up just around the corner in Dallas, for example. So there has to be improvement there. But, you know, if Pecorine needs to take a little bit more of, you know, the games coming up in the next little bit, then, you know, so be it. So I think that's encouraging to see. And yeah, I mean, you beat the Red Wings. Like, it's something. It wasn't what you all, you know, wanted it to be going into it because they are in the bottom of the Central Division. But pretty soon here we'll hit the 15-game mark after the Predators' next game. You would hope that they can beat the Red Wings again, finish at 7-8 in that 15-game stretch. And then you've probably got to go 10-5, I'd say at least, over, you know, your next 15-game stretches to get back into this. And we'll see if they're able to hang on. I know I rattled off a lot of the injuries earlier. I did leave out Matthew Olivier being put on injured reserve as well. The rest you still remain that I mentioned a few minutes ago. But this is a Nashville team right now that I think the number one thing that you'd want them to correct as quickly as possible is the offensive zone and the scoring chances that they've had. There's been an ability to a lot of times get in to the scoring areas, but then not be able to convert on the pass to the slot or not be able to get closer to the net. And I think you've seen some improvement there. And the special teams, like we've talked about, that's going to be a season-long battle. I see some positives there. I see other areas that need to grow still for sure. But with a tough six-game road trip coming up, I mean, all six-game road trips are going to be difficult in some capacity. Like I said, I mean, you're to the point now that you can't make excuses. And even though you'd like to have an Ekholm, you'd like to have a Johansson, you'd like to have all of those other guys back, I mean, you're unlikely to for the next handful of games, especially with Johansson and Ekholm being labeled as week to week. So, yeah, there's a lot that needs to be corrected, and you just have to hope that this kind of moment, seeing Pecorine restore a little bit of his former excellent play, seeing a team be resilient, because I think you probably had this thought as well. The Red Wings tied the game shortly thereafter twice on Nashville, and you're thinking to yourself, this again, like, are they not going to be able to, you know, escape? So much like we probably said a week or so ago with the heroic comeback against the Florida Panthers, maybe this is the moment that helps you, you know, go forward a little bit and remove yourself, you know, from some of the poor play you've had over the last week.
And you've got to find those moments too. And you mentioned the injuries, Ryan Johansson, Matthias Ekholm, Matthew Olivier, Brad Richardson, and Lucas Pisa, all on injured reserve for the Predators. We knew there were going to be injuries in a tight, short season like this. That's why you have guys ready, why you have the taxi squad and other players who can step in. But we also know that the Predators have been frustrated lately with the lack of offensive production. Their top players simply have to be better on a more consistent basis, and they need to find contributions from up and down the lineup. We know the games against Tampa weren't good on Monday and Tuesday here in Nashville. So I think bottom line, as you said, you bounce back with a win against Detroit, but you've got to continue to find those moments. You've got to find ways to move forward. Let's play this quickly. Preds associate captain Ryan Ellis was asked about Pekka following Thursday's win, and he touched on not only the play of his goaltender, but also the play of his hockey team.
Yeah, I think at times our team overall has got some, tough puck luck. Sometimes we deserve it. Sometimes it's just a tough break. And Pex has battled through. I think he's been great. I think his confidence is growing. I think this team's confidence is improving. We need to continue to get better as a group and build on our chemistry, build on this win. But overall, I think Pex has been phenomenal. And we expect nothing but that.
Before you know it, a 50 or so game season. The first 15 games of that are going to be in the books. Again, like we said, the Preds hoping to be 7-8 in that stretch. Needs to be more like 10-5 going forward. And whether it is and whether it's not, we'll be able to see that the prospects and the youth movement in this national team is probably going to have a say in that. And if you do see it more like 7-8, you might see more prospects. If you do see it more like 10-5, maybe they've been able to get them there. And so because of that, we wanted to talk to Predators Director of Player Development, Scott Nickel. He's also the GM of the Wacky Admirals, of course, with those prospects with the Chicago Wolves this season. He's got the pulse of what is going on with guys like Philip Tomasino and all of those names we love to talk about. So you can hear from him next on the Preds Official Podcast, presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, I'm Matt Duchesne, and most of you know I'm a husband, father, proud Nashville Predator, and a huge music fan. But what you might not know is that I'm also a total Ford guy, and my dealership is Two Rivers Ford. I chose Two Rivers because they're honest, upfront, and easy to do business with. They also have non-commissioned salespeople, which is great. I figured when a local business has been around for almost four decades, they must be doing something right, eh? So if you're ready for a new Ford, definitely go see my friends at Two Rivers Ford.
It's the Predators Official Podcast, presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming right now on the Game Nashville app. For more about the show, go to NashvillePredators.com/podcast. Brooks and I are joined in this second segment by our guest, Scott Nickel. It's a long title, so brace yourself. He's the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals and the director of player development. And in a way, he has to add the Chicago Wolves to that resume as well, at least for this season. If you're a longtime Preds fan, you probably know him as Scooter with his time with the Preds. So I'll say that now. Scooter, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. So we ask just about all our guests this question in some form or fashion, because this year is different in some form or fashion. So for you, for our listeners, what does your day-to-day look like right now, and how does that differ than maybe it has in seasons past?
Well, mine kind of stays the same, even though it's a little bit different because the OHL isn't playing. So we drafted Luke Evangelista, so we haven't got to watch him play after we've drafted him, and Prokop as well, Luke Prokop out of Calgary, Alberta. So we're seeing those are probably the only two prospects that we have that aren't playing hockey this year, and Waltier, his season in Sweden got postponed for the year. So I guess you could say three, but for myself, Rob Scuderi, Sebastian Bortolo, we're always in touch with our young prospects. We're watching video. We're having Zoom calls now with them and going through their player profile on how they can kind of improve on their coaching aspects, nutrition, and all that. So that's kind of the same, but we can't fly in and see the kids. So it's been lots of Zoom calls that way and lots of video. And then the American League is going now, so that gets me out of Nashville, and then I have to drive to to Chicago to watch them play. Usually, I was just there for a couple weeks to see them because I can't fly. If I fly, then I'm a week quarantined to come back into Nashville. So the juggling with lots of the quarantine and the protocols between the NHL and the American League, and long story short, all our guys are in a really good spot. If they're in Europe or the American League or the NHL and or the East Coast League, they're all doing great.
So, Scooter, you brought up a point, and I was going to ask you this later on, but I might as well bring it up now. And I'm just wondering, you mentioned a few guys who really aren't even playing, and some guys are places they're not used to being. So how do you deal with all of these prospects? How do you continue to make sure the players are still developing the way that the organization wants them to at a time like this?
At a time like this, we just got to get them playing. We got to get their, you know, their body, their timing, their growth, everything. Like, look at Igor Afanasyev. We loaned him back to the KHL. He's playing in the KHL he's got a really good team there, and he's playing with men. Maybe he's not playing as much as we would like him to, just because they're kind of going down the stretch. But he's also getting valuable experience of how to earn his ice time. When he does get his limited shift, what's he doing with it? Is it quality over quantity? So it's not ideal for some of these guys. We want him under our umbrella or under, you know, on this side of the pond to really get a good look at him. But they're all, you know, they're developing and they're playing hockey. That's the big thing. And they're still, you don't want anybody sitting out not playing. And it looks like probably the OHL and the WHL will go this year. So that's great. And it's probably not going to be a full season by any means, but just getting the guys, getting their bodies back to like their time clock of let's get through this year. I don't want it to be a wasted year, and it's not a wasted year because you only have so many years left. So these are really, for our young guys, a really huge, you know, growth year if it is in the gym or their dynamic, you know, explosiveness. And maybe it's not so much on the ice and the practices, more maybe just their body composition for the kids who aren't playing.
I alluded to it at the start of the interview, and we've talked about it on this show before, but for those who aren't familiar, will you describe the relationship with the Chicago Wolves this season, how that came about with the Admirals electing not to play in this 2021 season, how the split works with the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, well, it's probably the best case out of a bad situation where Carolina, their affiliation was with the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves is a little bit like an independent team, so they were doing they're going to have their affiliation there, and then Milwaukee wasn't going to go this year. So we're looking kind of for a partner, and just with the whole American League taxi squad, so you have six of your guys probably that would be in the American League that are on your taxi squad. So that really not like, and we're going into the pandemic, the American League, like we don't have a whole lot of depth. Like we signed our guys. We probably signed early because we had a really good team in Milwaukee last year. So we re-upped a lot of our guys early, but a lot of the American League teams, they didn't have that depth. They didn't know what the landscape of this year was going to look like. So they didn't sign many players. And then all of a sudden you come out of the taxi squad, you have six guys that probably would have, or probably four to six that would be on your American League team. So everyone was kind of looking for players, and just with the, you know, the pandemic with our independent owner in Milwaukee, it didn't really, you know, financially make sense. And so we split with Carolina and we do it out of Chicago, and it was the best case because now all our coaches, our trainers, our equipment guys, they all can work. Our video coach, our team service coach, they commute in and back. They commute every day to Chicago. They're a huge part of it. We kind of, you know, our head coach, Carl Taylor, is running the power play for the Chicago Wolves. Our two assistant coaches, Scott Ford and Greg Rallo, are at every game. And we kind of, when we didn't title them, but they're more like American League player development guys. So they go in every Monday, Tuesday and do skill work with both groups, you know, with the whole team. And then on team practices, then Carl Taylor and Ryan Warzowski, their head coach for Carolina, Patrick Dwyer's assistant coach for Carolina, and Bobby Nardell is assistant coach for like Chicago Wolves, I guess. So we got a lot of coaches there. So the coaches room gets a little bit busy, but we're allowed to dress six forwards, and they can dress six forwards. We can dress three defensemen. They can dress three defensemen, and the goalies just kind of rotate. But there's no egos there. Like, there's a couple times where we had four defensemen because they only had two that were healthy. So it is it's not like it's set in stone saying this is what you got to play, but that's kind of the parameters, and we're just trying to make everything work and get all the kids into games. And this, by it's just the pure development year for you. Want to, you know, teach the kids good habits. You want to be competitive. You want to, you know, a habit is winning, and I think we have that. We haven't lost yet, and just carrying that in from Milwaukee of last year. But also, you're not so hung up on wins and losses. It's more of just getting all these kids in, get them to games, get them up to speed, especially the first year kids like the Patrick Harpers, you know, the Cole Smiths, and getting these guys, Tomasino, getting them some valuable American League experience, because we're going to have them next year if they're going to be with us in Milwaukee or if they're going to be up here in Nashville.
Scott, I think that's a perfect segue to ask about a guy like Philip Tomasino, who certainly had a great showing at the World Junior Championship with Team Canada, is off to a hot start with the Wolves, 2 goals and 5 points in just 4 games. I'm just wondering how you see his development right now. And I know that we've had some folks, some of our fans and listeners in recent episodes say, asking us, do we think we could see Philip Tomasino here in Nashville in the NHL at any point this season? Not necessarily asking for a prediction, but how do you see his development right now? And do you think that he is on that path to potentially maybe be here at some point?
This has been he'd probably take a silver lining out of this year. It's been fantastic for Phil, just because he didn't have to go back to the OHL. He could play in the American League. He played at World Juniors. His growth and his learning experience of just being in the World Juniors, you know, he wasn't a lock to make the World Juniors. Our development group put a ton of work into Phil and give Phil a ton of credit, because he wasn't a lock. He was kind of probably a little bit on the outside looking in to make Team Canada. And he came in and it was like a house on fire. He scored both scrimmages, and then all of a sudden they got locked down for 2 weeks because of COVID. And then basically that was their tryouts. It was like 2 or 3 days of inter-squad scrimmage. So he ended up making the team, but if everybody remembers, he didn't start the first game. So he's had to earn every opportunity, where a lot of these high-end kids, they haven't, I'm not going to say they haven't gone through it, but they've always been the best player. They've always, you know, had maybe a little bit longer leash, and he had to go through it. I remember talking to him, and he was pretty upset on the phone saying he looks like he's the extra forward and he's not going to play the first game. And sure enough, he didn't. But, you know, his personality and his energy, and like, just make sure you're not moping around the dressing room. And then everybody knows what happened after that. Kirby Doc got hurt, and then all of a sudden Tomasino's in, and then, you know, he's not playing a whole lot, but he's producing, and whatever ice time he got, like we talked about quality over quantity, and he was producing and doing great, and he had a great World Juniors for the amount of ice time that he got, and he was a big part of that group. So those are the lessons that is going to make him a really good pro, and he's going through that early as a 19-year-old kid. And same thing in Chicago. You know, it's at that level where he came here after World Juniors. He had to sit out a week because of quarantine. He was on the taxi squad here. He missed all the inter-squad scrimmages with us at the main camp in Nashville. And then he was on the taxi squad. And then, you know, just with the beginning of the year, with the numbers and everything, we sent him to the American League. And it's been great. He's there with his peers. He's there with our guys, with the Pitlicks and the Richards. And Tanner Janot has been fantastic with him. But he's also there with his guys from World Juniors, with Suzuki and Jameson Reese and this Jarvis kid. So there's 4 junior kids in Chicago right now. And, you know, their power play unit is all pretty much all the young junior kids, and they're doing great. But, you know, it is a learning experience. He's probably played 4 games now, and probably 3 of the 4 games he's been good. And the last game yesterday against Grand Rapids is real quiet. So that's just learning how to be a pro and being very consistent at every single game.
The Predators Director of Player Development and the GM of the Milwaukee Admirals, Scott Nickel, is our guest here on the Preds Official Podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford. Scott, a quick question before I dive into some more of those prospects that you actually just so beautifully brought up on your own. But what is your, I'm curious of this, what is your role with Predators management, for lack of a better term, campaigning for some of these guys, or, you know, standing up for some of these guys, or, you know, is there ever a situation where you're saying, hey, Tomasino's doing this in the American Hockey League, therefore we should give him another look, or he should be the top guy we recall? How does that work in your relationship with, you know, the GM David Poile or head coach John Hines, for example?
Yeah, but I think that's the quality of our, and wasn't it a huge pause of our organization. We have so much communication and dialogue. There isn't anything where Hines is like, or Dave's like, what do we need? We need this player. But we don't, because we all know, we all watch video. We all have dialogue every single game. We write reports on the guys and we just talk about every player. Like, David knows all our young players and their biggest attributes and what they bring to the table. And at the end of the day, they, you know, I watch every game. I'm on the ground in Chicago watching these guys practice, lift, talking to them. Like, you really get to dive in and see the personalities of these kids. But I always go to bat for our guys. You're always, at the end of the day, you want the Nashville Predators to do well, and these guys to come in and it's a seamless transition. You don't want anybody to just come in and be a little bit maybe over their head, or they have one cup of coffee and they have a bad outing and you never see them again. Like, I would rather have these guys overripe and coming up, and so when they do come up, they're, you know, they're of some kind of substance and they help the team win. So it's the National Hockey League. It's a hard league to play in, and it's a hard league to win, and it's a hard league to make it, because there are so many great players. So we just want to keep good habits with these kids, and like I said earlier, it's great communication and talk, and all the way from the top to the bottom.
No one knows these players better than you do. You mentioned some of them earlier. We've covered Tomasino, but Rym Pitlick, Tanner Janot, and Alex Carrier, who I think is with Nashville as of this recording, at least. What's the insight that you have on them for our listeners?
They've been great. Like, they've been absolutely fantastic. I think Carrier can play in this league. He just needs an opportunity, and that's half the battle, is getting your opportunity, your break, or get lucky and get in. And he's grown. He's a really good 200-foot defenseman. He's not the biggest defenseman, but he's very smart. He's got good puck skills. He moves the puck. He's our leader down. Like, all those guys, you look at, you know, we are split affiliation, but you have Tanner Janot, who wears, he's an assistant captain down there. Alex Carrier is assistant captain down there. Lewington is an assistant captain down there. So for our guys down there, it's great to our second-year pros, our third-year pros, to have that kind of leadership quality, or, you know, kind of get sprung on them to be a leader to all these younger guys. Because in quote-unquote like a normal American League year, your McCarrans, your Tenortis, your Malones, to these guys, Matt Donovan, these guys are your leadership because they're a little bit older and they have a little bit more, you know, tread on their tires, I guess you could say, in the American League, where now it really gives, like, I look at a Tanner Janot and, you know, his leadership qualities have gone right through the roof. Like, he very well could be, you know, your captain down the road. Like, I just love the way that these kids are put into these situations and how they've kind of embraced it.
Scott, let's end quickly on this. And we've touched, of course, a lot in the American Hockey League, but you mentioned some of the collegiate guys, Canadian Hockey League, European prospects. I guess kind of a summary overview. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, why is the future bright for the Preds? And as David Poile likes to say, having the cupboard stocked. Do you think the cupboard is stocked pretty well here? And what does the future look like?
Yeah, it's getting there for sure. Like, well, even just with the Tomasino pick and the Evangelista pick and the Afanasyev pick, but you guys touched on Rem Pitlick. Rem Pitlick was our, you know, third round pick from the Jimmy Vesey deal to Buffalo. Like, he's by far our best player down in Chicago. You know, he is day in, day out. He is a very mature and very focused young man that he, his dream is to play in the NHL, and he wants to get there. And he's putting everything he can into that to get to up here in the NHL. So it is for sure, Spray. You got, you know, a scare off of our goalie in Russia. You forget that he's going to be a fantastic cornerstone of this organization for a long time coming. It's just he's a little bit down the road, but I like our group. I really do. I think we have a really good mix of a little bit of grit. We got some skill with the Ram Pitlicks and the Tomasinos and the Tommy Novaks that no one really talks about, where, you know, he's a very gifted somebody that we haven't had in our organization for a while. It just takes these guys a few years to develop and, you know, and kind of go through the process of being a pro. So it's good. It's really good. It's nice to see. Then you have your Davey Ferentz from Boston University, who is just lighting it up offensively. Everyone has their little bit of holes and warts and stuff, but you can't teach that skating. You can't teach that offensive ability. And then some of the other guys like Del Gazio, who plays at UMass, he's another very skilled defensive, you know, oriented, but he also has that same kind of attributes, almost like a Jeremy Davies, where they jump into the play. They're not being a big guys, but they can get at it. They're not scared for contact, but they also can run a power play. So we have a really good mix of talent coming up the pipeline for sure.
Well, Scott, one day we're going to have you back on and just tell stories about your time with the Preds. I think that maybe be a fun off-season activity, but we certainly enjoy hearing about the prospects at this point in time. Nobody knows them better in the Preds organization, but it's always good to talk to you, and we appreciate you joining us today.
All right, guys. Thanks. Yeah, anytime. I'm always love to talk prospects and Milwaukee and Nashville. It's always you can sit here for hours and just, you know, talk hockey. But thanks. Appreciate it.
It's the POP presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For more about the show, to rate, subscribe, nationalpredators.com/podcast. I'm joined by Brooks Braddon of that website. I'm Thomas Willis. Producer Max brings down a new single from Ryan Hurd and Maren Morris, near and dear to one half of this show's heart.
I was going to say friend of the show, Ryan Hurd.
Friend of the show, Ryan Hurd.
Big Nashville Predators fan. Big fans of them as well. Great duet. Check it out. It's downloadable, streamable, everywhere you find this podcast, actually.
Wow. Well, now that's a transition.
Same platform, sharing space.
Now, speaking of incredible transitions, from that musical single to really strict rules laid down by the National Hockey League to ensure that the 2021 season continues to occur. Brooks, take it away.
Well, so, and I guess worth mentioning, too, the reason Thomas is in the studio now is because he is back out of the bubble around the team I am still in. He has been replaced by another member of our department, Team Digital, but I am still in. So these are some things that Predators and the rest of the National Hockey League are having to be concerned with. And so the NHL, the NHLPA have had about a tough week or two, I guess you could say. There's been a lot of games postponed, a number of teams have been dealing with outbreaks to various degrees of players testing positive or going into COVID protocol. So the league is really trying to step up and do everything they can to limit exposures, limit positive cases, and play as many games as possible. So on Thursday night, actually right before the Preds and Red Wings got started, the league released a whole slew of new COVID protocols for players and staff and teams to follow. And there's a number of them there. You can read them on NHL.com. I won't go through all of them. But Thomas, I think one perhaps worth mentioning the most is the addition of the POC testing, the rapid testing for US-based mm-hmm. clubs. And so that says, because this has been an issue and it happened when the Predators had their game postponed with Carolina, is that the PCR, the lab-based testing that every team, every player, the test that you and I do every morning, you no longer, but I still do, is you test, you go to the arena, you get tested, and the results get sent to a lab, and you typically don't get your results back until 18 to 24 hours later. So, for example...
And that's like being done for a reason, because it's the most accurate test. The issue for that accuracy is it takes longer.
Yes, exactly. So that was an issue when the Predators played Carolina a few weeks back. And so everybody got tested that Monday morning. The Preds and Canes played the game that Monday night. Tuesday morning, you find out that some Hurricanes players had tested positive. Well, you've already played the game that night. Mm-hmm. So the league is trying to eliminate that potential, right? So players would come in, still get their PCR test in the morning, but then additionally get this rapid test before the game, and just to try to detect things, not as accurate, but then every player is going to get that, and in theory, get that test result before the start of the game. So something to look out for: if a testee tests positive, that individual will be immediately isolated and will not participate in the game that day. So if you've got a team where a couple star players come in and all of a sudden they fail their rapid tests, that brings a whole different lineup for that team. So I think that's the one worth mentioning the most, and that could have the biggest impact. There's some new restrictions on traveling and team meetings and social settings. You may have noticed glass behind the benches is now gone to hopefully improve some airflow. They want to take it out from behind the penalty boxes as well. So just, again, anything and everything the league and the Players Association can do to try to limit things. But, Thomas, I think that rapid test is the biggest thing, and certainly something to look out for the rest of the season. If you go into a game thinking you're going to have a full complement, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, and I think the rules are evolving, and what we know is evolving. Right before the Super Bowl, the NFL made headlines because they released their season-long findings, and they had a positive test rate of 0.08% amongst their players and staff for the 2020 season. They were effectively saying that they did such a good job, it was a good thing that they played the season because fewer people ended up contracting COVID. And I think a lot of those same principles apply to this setup for the NHL, because you have to remember, yes, they've done the bubble in Edmonton, but I mean, it's hard to come up with another term, but this isn't a bubble right now, right? Because A, teams are going across the country, and B, you're having players go to their homes, yes, isolate and be as careful as they can, but then come back to the arena or in hotel rooms and all of that. And so they had the NHL, all of that success in the 2020 postseason, but now it's different. And now it would appear, for example, that in the NFL, they did not have the issue of players, passing it amongst each other in games, or at least it appears to be that case. And that helped because they were playing outside. They were able to wear masks during practices a lot of times. And so I think the NHL has learned that may not be the case. And I've heard this hypothesized. I'm not a doctor. My brother is, so I won't get into this. But, it seems like even just the cool temperatures around the ice maybe makes the condensation hover in the air for a little bit longer. And that's why you could have one team affecting another. That wasn't a case in other sports. Looks like it could be in the NHL. So that's why, another reason for these additional protocols to be extra careful. And the NBA is doing something very similar. I want to say this off the top of my head, but I think they're even doing two rapid tests a day before a game just to try and not even have that exposure happen. Because as you mentioned it, there's such a close proximity when the game's being played and on the ice. It's still a contact and collision sport. You need to, to the best of your ability, even if it happens a lot, with this rapid test, because what it's known for is giving a false positive. So they still want to be extra careful, because if you do get an infected player on the ice, it could knock out a whole team. And we've already seen some instances of that.
Bottom line, staying safe and healthy is top priority right now, in the league and the PA doing everything they can to make sure that happens. We will be back in just a moment to wrap up episode 119 with some of your Twitter questions. That's next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to the Preds Official Podcast, presented by Two Rivers Ford.
Larkin pulls it out, puts it in front. Oh, what a miraculous save on Mantha was given there by Pecorine. Absolutely spectacular.
What a save.
Taken away by Ernie. Now here comes Mantha breaking in. His shot stopped by Pecorine. A game saver there, to be certain.
That absolutely was.
Monster block. Monster block. Monster, monster, monster.
Wow. You waited 119 episodes of the Predators official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford. To not only hear this tune, I wish we had a video feed. Producer Max doing the motions along with the, I'll say, infamous clip once played at Nashville Predators games for a few seasons. Pecorine, what a game for him.
If you've never had the pleasure of joining us for a game in person at Bridgestone, you may not have any idea what that is.
Yeah, it finally got gift at one point and put on Twitter, but wow. What a time.
And some people love it, some people don't love it.
But and producer Max appears to love it.
Hey, what producer Max says goes, because he's the one controlling everything. He could bump us off, or he could shove us off right now, shut down our mics, put everything down, be like, no, we're done. No questions.
So we try to keep him appeased. We try to let him do his reverse retro jersey rankings. We try to get him free Chick-fil-A. You know, we do what we can to keep him appeased, so he lets us keep doing the show. All right, let's get into these Twitter questions. Hashtag Preds Podcast, if you use that. We're more than likely to put you on the show. Get your question answered. We want to be able to do that. Our first from Wade, he says, have we been looking at the skill level of our Preds roster with rose-colored glasses or gold-colored glasses, I suppose, or is there something else that would explain why some key players are not contributing at needed levels?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything right now. You know, John Hines was asked a few days ago just about some of the inconsistencies and how do you go about solving that? And he said something to the effect of if we had the answer to the riddle, we would have solved it by now, right? Like you're not trying to not score. And so I think that's just been a frustrating part of these first few weeks of the season here. I guess we're almost a month in now. And some players, I mean, Philip Forsberg, I think has been largely productive leading the team in scoring. I think he's been great. Matt Duchene maybe has gotten going a little bit lately. You know, you'd still like to see more from him. Ryan Johansson, of course, is injured, but he was hoping to be more productive at the start. I mean, there's a number of guys that you would have wanted to see more from at this point. And I think this kind of ties into it. A couple loyal listeners say, is it time to panic? And I think panic's a strong word, because while there may be panic on the outside and in the fan base on a lot of things, that's not going to do anyone any good on the inside. And you heard Ryan Ellis say that in the first segment, that, you know, we're still as a team continuing to gain confidence in one another and what we're doing. And like, I get that some people don't want to hear that because it has been a tough start and it hasn't been what the Predators envisioned, but it is still too early while you're getting a month in and you're 14 games in, while it is now no longer early enough to say, let's not worry about it. You still have time to make things up, to make up ground, to find points. And that's what you've got to do on a more consistent basis. So I think it's a combination of, like, maybe everybody can be a little bit better right now, right? I don't think you can point the finger at one thing and say, penalty kill hasn't been great. The power play needs to be better. This player, this coach, that coach. I think collectively everything could be a little bit better right now. I don't think it's fair to say, you know, put it on one thing or one aspect or anything of that nature. So
yeah,
as we've said so many times too, like you've just got to find ways to get points right now. I think that's the most important thing. You get two against Detroit, you need another two, and then you need to keep building off of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've seen moments where some of the signings have worked. Mikael Granlund has been arguably the Preds' best player almost all the games that he's played, or at least the majority of them. But then conversely, you'll see Matt Benning or Mark Borowiecki play excellent. You're like, okay, looks like there's been an upgrade on the third pair. That will help the defense. That will allow Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis to sit a little bit more and stay fresh. And then that flip-flops, and the next night you're like, you know, maybe not. And I think it's easy from a team perspective to say, especially when the offense is down, it just makes everything look worse, right? I mean, every goal against is more significant when you're only scoring roughly two and a half goals per game. You also see clearly the best team in the NHL right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, passing all across your zone, especially on the power play. And you're like, wow, like, why can't the Predators, you know, handle the puck like that? And that's, and you know, those sorts of elements that lead to goals. And like you said, I think sure, a little bit of it is talent-based and roster-based. Part of it is systematic and how the construction's going and how you're playing against tough opponents. So yeah, don't need to panic. Is this an ideal start? Not even close to it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues. The Predators have to play a lot better than they have these first 15 games. It's that simple if they think that they're a playoff team. And we'll know for sure in the next 15 games. We'll be 30 games in at that point. We'll be more than halfway through the season. So yeah, I mean, not all roses or gold roses or whatever joke I made earlier, but there's some positives in some other areas as well. So you got to hope that, especially during what's clearly going to be a rough patch with these injuries, that the team can get better, and then you're able to sprinkle in some more of your talented players when they're ready to return. This is a question that we've been asked several times, and we wanted to get more of an official answer. I promised producer Max he would learn something from today's show. He rarely learns anything. So I said, stick around for this last question, or last segment, I should say, and you can learn something new. So the question, in a sense, has been, why do players keep moving from the taxi squad and back to the main roster, over and over, day after day? You've especially seen that with Matthew Olivier. You've seen that some with Ellie Tolvanen. And if you really were listening closely, you may have heard our guest, Scott Nickel, kind of allude to this setup, at least to a point, about why this is happening. So the answer is the taxi squad was put in place by the NHL due to the health and safety protocols of the pandemic. It's essentially the minor leagues, so essentially the American Hockey League. But the taxi squad players are always with your team and under the NHL protocol. Therefore, it gives NHL teams the ability to replace players as needed on a daily basis without involving any travel or COVID risk. So that's the way to think about it. It's almost as if the Preds have sent them traditionally to the Milwaukee Admirals, but in this case, we got to say Chicago Wolves, for a couple different reasons. One, certainly part of it is financial, because you're in the minor leagues. I'm using air quotes here, but you're in the AHL when you're on the taxi squad. And so you're also with the team at the same time, though, so it's far easier. It's not as if you're making a trip or you're going far away. And so the Predators are able to, for cap and financial reasons, put a player in the minor leagues, again, air quotes, on the taxi squad, and then have them back at their disposal very rapidly. That's why, if you've noticed the pattern, it's player sent to taxi squad on an off day, player recalled just before the game. In actuality, player went nowhere.
And as John Hines said at the beginning of the season, and I tried to put this out last week on Twitter because there was just a firestorm, but essentially he had said at the beginning of the season, you should not differentiate the taxi squad between the active roster. You should really think of them as one thing. Mm-hmm. And whereas as we record this on Friday afternoon,
yeah, just did it.
Ellie Tolvanen was sent back to the taxi squad. Yeah. He's probably going to be back on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not a demotion. It's not an indictment of a player's play.
No, and I think hopefully people are starting to realize that. But yeah, so I just wouldn't. I get that maybe the optics of it look bad, but that's not what's going on, and guys are coming right back up. So let's leave it at that. Andrew said, in the English Premier League this season, are you impressed that I know what EPL stands for, Thomas?
Foxes never quit.
He says, this season there have been more away road victories than ever before, which shows the influence of the home fans. Has there been any noticeable differences in the NHL as of yet? So interestingly enough, teams have been better at home. A majority of teams have at least a 500 record on home ice. There's not a huge contrast, but home teams have certainly been the better of the two. And most buildings don't have fans. Nashville, we are one of the few markets who have had fans in our building, a couple of thousand most recently, mm-hmm. at Bridgestone Arena. So not that you're getting a huge home ice advantage, but it helps to have some fans there. I think for any player right now, just to see somebody in the arena after what they became used to in the bubble. So again, not a huge contrast, but there definitely have been more wins for the home teams thus far this season.
Yeah, I actually have some additional data on this provided by a listener of this show. Other parties have looked at these games or these other leagues doing very similar things. So this is last season. The NBA had played 76 home site games, and 36 of them were won by the road team, 36 of them were won by the home team, 4 tied and went to overtime. So exact split, independent of where the game was played. This is crazy. On the last week of the NFL season, road teams went 9-7, and that put 122 games won by the home team, 122 games won by the road team, 10 ties that went to overtime. So it is almost an exact split for those venues that have had no fans at all. And like you said, good to hear even in some of the mic'd up segments that we've put out on the website and Pred Social to hear the players say, wow, this is different. You know, we miss the fans. It feels weird. Like, you know, where's that extra push in the third period that we're, you know, used to relying on. So it makes sense that, yeah, there is a metric to show that fans do matter in some small way. And that when it's in a neutral site, at least on the NBA and on, in the NFL, that it's even, I mean, dead even. That's just crazy that it worked out to be that close.
Good for you for talking that whole time, because my Zoom crashed and restarted and you were still going.
I noticed so your picture was gone for a second. Yeah, you don't have to tell me to be long-winded twice.
Well, what a perfect way to finish it up, hey?
Yeah, there you go. We had a question about Philip Tomasino. I think we answered that with Scott Nichols. So, yeah, I would not be surprised to see him in Preds Gold this season. We will see. Stay tuned.
I would also ask, and you mentioned it, Thomas, but just to reiterate again, if you wouldn't mind using hashtag Preds Podcast when you ask these questions.
Yes.
Because my mentions have been a little bit of a mess lately, and so it's a little difficult to go back when they're asked earlier in the week and find everything. So if you could help us out, use hashtag Preds Podcast, that would be awesome.
Yes, and I know we trick you sometimes with Predators Official Podcast, and people do that, but we tried to make it simple, hashtag Preds Podcast. I have a, not to get into the weeds, but I have a column on TweetDeck. As soon as that hashtag is used, I see it.
Yep.
So we'll get you in there. All right, for Brooks Bratton, follow him on Twitter, at Brooks Bratton. I'm at Tommy Willis on Twitter. Producer Max producing another stellar edition of the Preds Official Podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford. Make sure you're following at Preds NHL for the best Preds content first. Every single day they're putting out what you need to see. NationalPreds.com/podcast. That's the place to go to see how you can subscribe. We're all over where your favorite podcasts are available. We'd love a 5-star rating. We'll read your review on air if you give us one. We appreciate all you guys continuing to listen. Thanks to Scooter. Thanks to Scott Nichol for joining us this week on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I hope not. I hope not.